Rogers, and welcome to the Liberty Mike Podcast, broadcasting from an undisclosed location in the heart of Dixon. I am Michael, and I am here with Liberty Larry.
How's it going?
And Bella.
Yeah, we got an extra guest.
In the audience for the first time. We have to watch the cursing.
We're performing in front of a live audience.
In studio.
Yeah.
So how's it going?
Yeah, it's going. You know. Right. How was your trip?
It was fine. I had a really good time. Say for the world to hear, congratulations to Bill and Jen on their marriage last year that we couldn't celebrate till now because they live in New Jersey.
So they've loosened things up enough in New Jersey that y'all could have a gathering?
Yeah. I was a little surprised. So I went ahead, it was an illustration to me, like planning this trip and taking this trip, how absurd like a lot of these restrictions
are. Yeah, so much of it, yeah.
So let's start with this. Now, I went ahead and got a coronavirus test just in case, because New Jersey's one of the states that has been really
restrictive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to end up in a position where I couldn't, celebrate Bill's marriage.
Right.
So
I have a question just logistically with this. So you got a test before you left.
Yeah.
Were you issued some kind of card or something with that test?
No,
or
I just printed the results.
You print the results?
Yeah. Okay. I have like an online chart thing, which I don't like, but you don't have a choice anymore.
Yeah.
They put all your stuff online, whether you access it or not. So may as well, take advantage of the convenience. And I actually got a rapid test and a PCR test. It's a good thing that I did both because I had the results for the rapid test, and the results for the PCR test didn't come in until I was in the air on the way back.
Oh, wow.
So that didn't do me any good.
Yeah.
And apparently it was kind of a waste of money then as well. Actually, the whole thing was because nobody ever checked. Nobody ever checked my papers.
You never had to show your papers.
No. But
well, that was kind of what I was getting at. So you get this test that you printed out, and theoretically at least, when you go in places, you have to show it to somebody. Hey, this is my negative test.
I mean, I don't know.
And how hard, difficult would that negative test be to forge? That you've got one, you've got like a template to use.
It's just like a little printout. I mean, it would be easy as far as I could tell. I mean, the only thing that you'd have to worry about is if they wanted to check on it and they called my physician to make sure that they were real.
Do you think your physician would take the call?
Well, I think at least they have an answering service that says, family care or whatever the name of it is and so forth. So at least it would seem legitimate. But then that means that I could probably fake a result. I mean, because this would have been over a weekend, too. So it's not like there would have been anybody in the office there to answer.
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't know.
Just curious. No real reason. Just wondering.
Yeah. The first thing that stood out to me was my flight.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm flying from Pensacola to Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And on American. And by the way, just as a side note, Americans had a bunch of problems recently, and their service is not that great, and there's problems with American.
Yeah.
So why do I fly American? Well, we don't really have a lot of flights with Southwest here, which is supposed to be one of the better ones, but I don't really know because I don't ever get to fly
Southwest.
Because
you never get to fly,
The other one, big one here, obviously, is Delta.
Yeah.
And the reason that I fly American instead of Delta is because if I'm going north and I fly Delta, then I have to fly through Hartsfield, which is a miserable airport.
It's like I've only flown a couple of times. One of those times was we went through Hartsfield, and dude, that was a nightmare. I was like, is this how all airports are? Because this sucks.
Yeah, I don't know if this still circulates, but the joke used to be, what does Delta stand for? Yeah. Damn, everything leaves through Atlanta.
Yeah, yeah. Right?
Now I lived in Atlanta at a time, so I flew quite a bit of Delta then because I was flying out of there anyway.
Yeah, you had to deal with it. Yeah.
I had to navigate Hartsfield regardless, so I may as well fly Delta.
Yeah.
But from here, if I'm flying Delta and I'm going north, I have to connect through Atlanta.
Yeah.
And if I'm going west, then I have to connect through DFW.
Yeah.
And DFW is no picnic either.
Really?
So I fly American because if I'm flying north on American, then I connect through Charlotte, which is a fairly easy airport to navigate. I mean, it's big, but it's, you know, it's fairly easy.
But it's
easy
set up well.
Yeah, it's fairly easy to navigate. Yeah. And going west, I go through Houston, which is a fantastic airport. Ah, like, it's kind of grimy and whatever, but they have this spoken...
I mean, it's Houston, right?
They have this spoken wheel set up, so you're never very far from anything.
Yeah.
And I wish they had set up all airports like that. It seems like it would be so easy, but... Anyway, that's the reason I fly American.
I gotcha.
So I don't have to deal with Atlanta or Dallas-Fort Worth.
Yeah.
But I had a direct flight to Philadelphia from Pensacola.
Oh, nice.
On the way up.
Yeah.
I had to come through Charlotte on the way back.
Oh, I gotcha.
Very long preamble here. But the point is, so American says, you know, they ask you some questions. Have you had any of these symptoms over the last however many days or what have you? But that's all it is when you... go to get your tickets.
Oh yeah.
Like yeah, we need to set up your flight. They're not checking for vaccines or recent tests or anything.
So no papers.
But, yeah. But they do say, you know, check the travel restrictions for your where you're coming from and where you're going to.
Your destination. Yeah.
So I checked a bunch of them just to see. And so from Alabama to Philadelphia or to Pennsylvania, from Alabama to Pennsylvania, no restrictions.
Yeah.
From Florida to Pennsylvania, no restrictions. From Alabama to Florida, no restrictions.
Yeah.
From anywhere to, well, no, I shouldn't say that. That's not right. From Alabama to New Jersey, like if I was flying into Newark instead of flying into Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Because the party and everything was in New Jersey. It's just in southwest New Jersey. So it's easier to fly into Philly and.
Yeah.
Just cross the line. It's there. Shorter.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the point, actually. So, but if I was flying from Alabama to into New Jersey, there are travel restrictions.
Really?
You do have to show papers or whatever.
Yeah.
Same thing from Florida into New Jersey. Yeah. But there's no travel restrictions from Pennsylvania into New Jersey.
Yeah.
So I can fly from Alabama or Florida into Pennsylvania and then cross into New Jersey without any...
With no problems.
Yeah. So, yeah. And then there was some... There also a weird thing on the New Jersey Travel Advisory website that said that they expect you to quarantine for 7 days when you're coming into the state from, you know, anything other than an adjoining state, essentially.
Yeah.
That they don't enforce it, but they expect you to comply. Like, oh, okay, well.
I love those kind of enforcement mechanisms.
Exactly.
They're my favorite.
And so I literally only stayed a night. Like, I was barely in New Jersey for 24 hours.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm not sure I was... I don't think I was in New Jersey for 24 hours, honestly.
Yeah.
So it just... How absurd is it to, like, quarantine for 7 days for an overnight trip?
Yeah, like, right. Yeah. Like, this makes no sense.
So it was, yeah. And then I was really surprised. Now, they do strictly enforce in the airports and so forth you wearing a mask.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So you just come up with little excuses not to. So you go and sit at one of the cafes and you order a glass of water and you sit there and you sip every once in a while and leave your mask off.
Yeah. Wait till one of the security guys is walking by to take your sip.
Yeah, exactly. It was annoying, but it wasn't so bad. It
wasn't unbearable.
Yeah.
But on the plane, it's pretty strict, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, I have a story about that.
All right.
But we'll get there in a moment.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, I was surprised when we were in New Jersey, like went in and out of gas stations and things like that and the hotel and everything, and like nobody was complaining about masks.
Really?
And in fact, there were a lot of people that weren't wearing masks.
Yeah.
And nobody got on to me. Like the first...
No funny looks or nothing?
Yeah, the first gas station that we walked into, I went ahead and put my mask on before we went in. Because
yeah.
I was like in New Jersey because I was expecting this to be a problem. And yeah. I went in there and like more than half of the people didn't have masks on. So I took my mask right back off.
Right?
I was just like, yep, this is, we all know this is a fiction, right?
Right. Yeah.
It wasn't bad. And the venue for the wedding celebration, there was no mask requirement.
No restrictions,
in there.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Nice.
Now, I did have some family that voiced some concerns about me not being vaccinated.
Yeah.
But I asked Bill, and it was his
event.
Yeah, it was his party.
Yeah.
And so before I went up there, I was like, look, I'm not going to have been vaccinated when this is going on. So, Is that going to be a problem? He was like, nope, not at all. Can't wait to see you. Come on up. Yeah. So
he didn't go like, oh, well, as long as you're going to get it after you get back, that's fine.
Yeah.
Because that would have some kind of magical effect.
No, right. So, you know, the other family that wasn't so sure about having me around, screw them. It's not their party.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
And actually, I didn't get any grief from anybody while I was there anyway.
Yeah.
So
it's such a ridiculous thing. Like, yeah. Especially at this point. And I say this, I feel like I say this ad nauseum all the time, but it would be different if the vaccine prevented you from spreading it.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't. Like, nobody is claiming that. So why it's such a contentious thing just makes no sense.
Yeah. Well, and that's kind of the point. I mean, you know, all right. Well, okay, so let's do the airplane story and then go into the news part of this.
Okay.
That's not just like my personal news.
Yeah.
On the way back from Philadelphia, so I flew from Philly to Charlotte, and then from Charlotte to Pensacola.
Yeah.
On the flight from Charlotte to Pensacola, we got a very late start because they had to remove somebody from the plane.
Yeah.
Because he wouldn't wear a mask, sort of. So it happened many rows ahead of me. I was in like the second to last row or something, so.
Yeah.
I didn't actually witness this. This is the information that was passed back to us.
It was passed down the aisles.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know how.
You know, everybody's played that telephone game, right?
Right. So how accurate this actually is, I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah.
But the story that was passed back was that there was a guy who was chewing gum.
Yeah.
And like you have a heavier beard than me. Like I have a very short beard. But any guy that hasn't shaved in 4 hours or whatever and is wearing a mask, and if you talk or move your jaw in any way, you're pulling the mask down.
Yeah.
Like, constantly pulling the mask down.
Oh, yeah.
Because your little whiskers get caught on the mask and it just, you know, friction.
Scrapes them down.
Right? Yeah. So the story was that this guy was chewing gum, and so as he's chewing gum, it keeps pulling the mask down until it's uncovering his nose. And the flight staff kept getting onto him to cover his nose again, and he'd cover his nose again, but he'd keep chewing his gum, and so it'd pull the thing back down again. And then at one point, they're getting onto him, and he's like, look, it's just getting pulled down. Like, your mask got pulled down when you were talking, and they took that as being belligerent.
Yep.
And had him escorted from the flight.
Wow.
And so when the flight attendant was in the back and she was kind of telling us the story, she's saying, there was a guy that refused to wear his mask properly after being asked many times. And then he started to get rude with the staff and I was scared. And I said, were you scared because he was being belligerent or scared because he wasn't wearing a mask?
It's a fair question.
And she didn't answer that question, actually. So there was another thing, though, that came up with that. Also, by the way, we're sitting there at the gate after this with the door closed for like 20 minutes after they'd removed this guy from the plane.
Yeah.
And so eventually the captain comes on and he says, we had a security issue. We had to have somebody removed from the plane. We'll be leaving shortly. We just have some paperwork that we need to do. And I was like, can't somebody at the gate do the paperwork while we leave?
Can you email
the information or something? Somebody can you dictate or?
Yeah.
Like, why do we have to sit here and wait?
We have way too much technology on this planet to be like waiting at a gate because we need to. Something needs to be emailed to somebody.
Yeah, bureaucracy never sleeps. Right?
Exactly.
So, but their bureaucracy is far more important than the rest of our time.
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
But
this would never happen in a free market, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I do understand that the staff there is in a weird position because these are all federal mandates. And, you know, the feds have control over whether those airlines can stay licensed.
Well, that and they're basically paying or were at least at one point just cutting them checks.
Yeah. Well, that's true, too. Oh, yeah. You're not working. Let me just go ahead and make sure you're too big to fail. Right.
Yep.
And well, on the other hand, they were failing because of federal mandates.
Federal mandates. Yeah. So it's this weird like situation.
Know. Like, can you really?
Yeah. You really can't blame them when they're not allowed to conduct their business because the government restricted them.
And, you know, if the government wanted to give me money, I'd take it.
Oh, yeah. I justify that by, well, they take enough of mine, so get back what I can,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. But so another topic that had come up with the flight attendant is, so you remember we, well, I don't know, you never flown with me. So I, from the time I was like 21, every time I flew, I would take a couple of those mini bottles of booze.
Yeah.
And throw them in a baggie. Yeah. You know, because you have to, you know, there, but it's 2 ounces or less, 2 ounces of fluid or less.
Yeah.
And you throw them in a baggie and go through security with that stuff. And you just like throw it in the tray with everything else, your baggie full of booze.
Yeah.
And nobody's ever said anything to me about it.
Yeah.
Never. The only time anyone ever said anything to me was when I ended up on a plane with a couple of our friends, Tim and Tara, on the way to my brother's wedding.
Yeah.
We ended up on the same flight in Atlanta and the rest of the way up there. I think it was in Atlanta. Anyway, I must have been flying Delta that time. But so Tara has like a gallon bag full. There were like 30 of these mini bottles in it. And so on the way up, you know, like we're
passing them around. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Like we're drinking and we were in the back of the plane again. And the flight attendant then told us that we weren't really supposed to have those. And Tara and I said the same thing, which is, well, I put it in a little baggie and put it in the tray as I went through security and they didn't stop me there.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So... but apparently they've gotten much more strict about this.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, and in fact, it was in the in-flight announcements that you can't have, that consuming outside alcohol on the plane is a federal offense or something.
What?
And
a federal offense?
Yeah. So the, well, of course, they got to protect the profits of the airlines, right?
Yes, like, man.
It's the same reason you can't bring any outside food or drink in past the security. Well, now you have to purchase that stuff on the other side.
Yeah, exactly.
At $8 a bottle of water. Right. It's like the same thing that they do when you go into stadiums. Right? Yeah, like you can't bring stuff outside. Yeah. Like, and you have to buy our overpriced stuff in here.
Yeah.
But the guy in front of me was asking the flight attendant about that. And it was just like among a general complaints about the way the airlines have been handling a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, like you're really making it like it's never been it hasn't for a long time been comfortable to fly or really fun to fly. And now you're making it downright miserable.
Yeah.
And so he was asking her specifically about the alcohol. And she said that it had been a rule for as long as she'd been doing this, which was like 30 years or 25 years or something like that.
a rule that hadn't been enforced, apparently.
Yeah. And she said, though, that they'd been having a lot of problems over the last year or so with customers, with customers, well, is that the right word? Passengers.
Passengers.
Yeah, yeah, having a lot of problems over the last year or so with passengers. And so they and they were connecting it to you know, consumption of alcohol, and so that's why they were becoming more strict. And I was going to say,
did you stop them? Because I know exactly where you're going. Yep.
Yeah, so I interjected with, it's not because they're drinking, it's because you've become the mask police.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So, like, now you have this antagonistic, confrontational, confrontations with passengers about things, all this thing that we all know. And I did continue from here too. So I was like, we all know that this is just theater.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're just confronting people over something that we all know doesn't do anything.
Yeah. And exactly.
And she just kind of let it go. And they'd already thrown somebody off the plane for being belligerent.
Yeah. Being what I would consider, what's the word, maybe like lightly belligerent.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like a light version of belligerent.
And like, I'm all ready to have this discussion. And so, I couldn't really have it with her because I didn't want to get thrown off the plane.
Right.
Didn't want to get home. I really wanted to get home.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have it now. And so I just want everybody out there to understand how absurd it is to wear masks on planes.
Yeah.
This does absolutely nothing. Like, even leaving out the part where masks in real world studies have been shown to do next to nothing, if anything at all, to begin with. All right. So, but now you're on a plane. You're in an aluminum tube with a whole bunch of other people for 2.5 hours with recirculated air.
Yeah.
Okay. And so I was looking through their, you know, their safety stuff online.
Yeah.
And they say, you know, you can feel secure because everyone has to wear a mask. All right. Well, even a perfect fitting mask to start with does not filter out viruses.
Yeah.
Like the pores in these masks are too large for viruses. Now, if you have one of these surgical masks, at least there's a like a double layer and it creates a electromagnetic field that's supposed to trap a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
But most people aren't wearing those anyway. They're wearing these cloth masks that really do nothing at all.
Yeah.
So, you know, even without a perfect fit of a surgical mask, like you're not trapping viruses. Yeah. The only way it helps at all is if you actually have the thing and you sneeze or cough, it limits how far you project.
Which, by the way, even in the rare situation where I wear a mask, that bad boy's coming down for a sneeze.
Yeah.
I used the shoulder. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the mask is coming down before I shoulder it.
Yeah. Because you don't have a spare mask and you might need one.
Well, that and I just don't want to sneeze into a mask. Like, that just seems unpleasant.
I don't know. I don't think I've sneezed with the mask on. I have coughed with the mask on plenty. Yeah. But anyway.
Yeah.
So you're in an aluminum tube with all these people for all of this time with recirculated air. Now, like I said, on the website, they say, well, we have HEPA filters.
Yeah.
All right. But a HEPA filter only filters out like 300 nanometers. And larger.
Yeah.
And almost no viruses are larger than 300 nanometers. Yeah. I mean, it's designed for like spores dust. And pollen and dust. Right? Yeah. And I made it a point, like just before we got on, I was like, well, I wonder actually how big the SARS-CoV-2 virus is.
Yeah.
It's about 100 nanometers. So it is a third the size of the holes in a HEPA filter.
Yeah. So it's making it.
It's not getting filtered out by a HEPA filter.
Yeah.
So, and actually, I would say that one thing a plane does is kind of ensure that if anybody has it, that it gets evenly spread around the entire plane.
Everybody's like, going to get exposed. Yeah.
So the whole thing is just, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah. It's just just like you said, it's just theater.
Yeah. And this is what well, go ahead. What were you
I was just going to say, going back to your initial thing where with the banning the alcohol because they've had issues with people on the planes, like, it's so crazy because clearly in that situation, clearly the alcohol is not the problem. Mm-hmm. But you even go into like retail settings and stuff because I think we talked about this at the time. Yeah. But like businesses are being forced to enforce this. Mm-hmm. Like they're having all kinds of issues just like what you're talking about because people who just don't want to comply will be belligerent, you know? And it doesn't matter if they're drunk or not. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, it's not the alcohol that's the problem. It's the being forced to do something against their will.
It's the creating confrontation.
Yeah, creating confrontation, which the business I run, we were very upfront. I was upfront with my people very, very early in this. I was like, we are not the mass police. Somebody comes mm-hmm. here without a mask, that's their business. We're not kicking them out. We're not approaching them. Nothing. And the company's policy was to approach them, you know, mm-hmm. and just mention it. But no.
We're not even giving them dirty looks.
No, like, no. I was like,
no thumbs down, no nothing.
You treat them just like you treat any other customer that comes in here, period. And I was very strict with my people about that because to me, that's the right way to handle it.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, did you see, what's the big In-N-Out burger?
Oh, yeah.
Released a statement saying like, we're here to please our customers and we're not.
Yeah, they weren't. But because they were in some of the states they were in. I guess California was one of them. They had very strict mandates for the businesses and mm-hmm. what they could do. And they just flagrantly was like, no, we're not doing this. Shut us down.
Yeah.
Well, I think they did in some areas.
Yeah. We're here to provide service to our customers, not, you know, not confront them. Essentially. Yeah,
absolutely.
And, the longer this goes on, especially the mask thing.
Yeah, because I'll tell you, we're kind of past all of this now, mm-hmm. which the company I work for has came out within the past, well, since we've podcast, mm-hmm. That so if you're not vaccinated, you have to wear a mask. Like, mm-hmm. that's the policy. And then I guess towards the end of the year, we'll have to be tested, which is going to be a problem because at the end of the day, somebody's going to have to enforce that.
Yeah.
And in the position I'm in, I'm one of the people that has to do the enforcement. Mm-hmm. And how do you think that's going to go?
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out if it's not changed before it goes into implementation. And it may very well be, because I think that they're going to see big holes with this policy.
Well, and at every step, the narrative keeps breaking down. You know, originally it was the vaccine is 96% effective, and you know, you'll get two doses and you're good.
Yeah.
And then it turned out that you could still get the virus. And they said, well, that's because of these new variants that have arisen. You know, it's because of that are being transferred through the unvaccinated, which was also a lie.
Which also bull, yeah.
And then it was like, well, not only, but you can't transmit it, remember?
Yeah, yeah.
And then it was like, well, it turns out you're just as transmissible as somebody who's unvaccinated. But it's, you know, again, it's because of these new variants that keep arising. Yeah. And then people with the vaccine started getting really sick. But, you know, you won't really get sick. Oh,
that
but then
was
they
the
did.
Big push. Yeah, yeah.
But then you did. Well, you won't end up in the hospital or dying. But people are ending up in the hospital and dying with the vaccine.
Yeah.
And then it was like, well, it's because you know, it's wearing off after 6 months. Wait a minute, I thought we were two and done, or one and done with the J&J.
Yeah.
So no, you'll just need a booster, and for how long?
Yeah.
Like a booster every 6 months for the rest of my life? Is that what you're telling me I've got to do now at this point?
Looking that way, because even so, right now the push is for the third booster, but mm-hmm. I heard a report couple of days ago, it was before mm-hmm. this weekend, that they're talking about fourth boosters for the people who initially got it after the first of the year. So like this, there, I mean, this is going to be a never ending thing. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just boosters for life.
Well, and at this point, there have been as many deaths since the vaccine as there were before the vaccine. Yeah. So, and in roughly equal period of time.
Yeah.
So it doesn't seem like it has actually reduced the overall death rate.
Which makes you wonder, what's this thing really doing? Like, what is it really solving?
Yeah.
To be pushed this hard.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I keep saying that this is like a really good example of what begging the question really means, yeah. is that there's this initial presumption that is never questioned.
Yeah.
And that presumption is that the vaccine works.
Yeah.
Like, at some point along here, you know, it's always some other excuse, like, oh, well, you know, the vaccine was developed for the wild coronavirus, and now we have these new variants. Oh, the vaccine is wearing off. You just need more of it. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, et cetera. Well, maybe the question that should be being asked is, how effective actually is the vaccine? Yeah. Maybe the vaccine isn't really doing what you expect it to do.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that it's pretty obvious that the vaccine isn't doing what they expect it to, because everything that they told us that the vaccine was going to do up until this point, they've had to retract at some point.
And just like we talked about on the last podcast, I think it was the last one, like, some of these studies were a little shady anyway.
Yeah.
So, like, how much does that play into what the real effectiveness of this thing is?
Well, the blaming the unvaccinated is starting to fall apart too, and I'm not sure where they go from here, because now, like, Austria last week was the first country in Europe to lock down only the unvaccinated. They essentially put all of their unvaccinated population under house arrest.
Yeah.
All right. And Germany followed suit not long afterwards. And as I understand it now, Austria has locked down their whole country.
Wow.
But there are even greater limitations on the unvaccinated.
Yeah.
And so, well, where do you go from here with the narrative? Like, yeah. if you have arrested essentially all of the unvaccinated people and they still have the virus spreading around, I mean, is the next story going to be, well, it's because the unvaccinated obviously are sneaking out at night and running around and affecting us all?
Yeah, right.
Or, like, at some point, do you have to drop the idea that the unvaccinated are the problem?
Yeah, well, no, either that, or it's like, no, we just got to get rid of the unvaccinated.
Yeah.
Either by force of vaccination or euthanization.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that a word?
Yeah. 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 Euthanization.
Cool. Awesome.
Have them euthanized, I think, would be probably a
more eloquent way to say it.
Or elegant, at least. So, but that's it, right? Like, the government gave this false impression. And this, I said this on the plane to the people around me who, like, seemed to be interested in what I was saying.
Yeah.
So I went ahead and threw this out there. Let me go ahead and get my anti-government stuff out while I can.
Yeah,
to an audience that seems amenable.
Yeah.
And I said, well, the problem here, oh, yeah, it was because one of the guys on the other side in front of me said, well, you know, like one person's always got to be difficult about it. And I said, look, it's not the one guy's fault. It's the government's fault. Yeah. I said, the government has created these mandates that they're having to enforce that are creating all these conflicts. Yeah. And the reason that the government did it is because they gave the false impression at the beginning that they had a way of controlling the virus. And now they have to maintain that by seeming to be doing something.
Yep.
Like they have to make it look. Can't
be seen doing nothing.
Right. Like you have to be doing something all the time. So, but the truth is that the government can't control the virus.
No. Oh, absolutely.
And they never could.
Yeah.
The idea that they could was a pipe dream. It was just a lie that they sold you so that you would give up more of your freedom.
Yeah.
And
I don't think there was ever really a want for them to control it. Because if they really cared about what was good for people, a ton of the decisions they made would have been made differently.
Well, that's true too.
Particularly with even with the vaccine stuff. Like instead of pushing vaccines so hard, they would have been like, man, we need to get this country healthy.
Yeah.
Because that's the biggest way to fight this is to be healthy.
Yeah, there's a real strong correlation between obesity and the severeness of the illness.
Exactly. I mean, we've had the obesity problem in this country for decades now. Mm-hmm. So, I mean...
Yeah. Eat better, get outside, do some exercise, take some vitamins.
But you never hear that from the government or any of these other groups.
Well, that's because those are things that you can do yourself or are relatively inexpensive as opposed to, you know... Remdesivir that turned out to kill roughly kill a quarter people. Of their of the people that took it regularly. So. And of course, that was the thing that Fauci was pushing early on, whereas ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine were definitely getting taken off of YouTube, by the way.
You said the actual words. You're supposed to like abbreviate them or something.
It just lets me know that there's at least one more person listening or watching, right? Like,
Whoever banned us had to have listened, right?
Exactly. Those things have shown to be more effective than remdesivir turned out to be, and far less harmful than remdesivir turned out to be. But that's the thing that Fauci was pushing. And I maintain now the same thing that I maintained then, which is the reason is that ivermectin is roughly like $3 a day or something like that. Hydroxychloroquine is pennies a day, and remdesivir was $300 a dose.
Yeah, yeah. Raking it in for the pharmaceutical companies. Yeah.
This is a big way of privatizing public funds again. This is a huge welfare program for pharma, which obviously needs it.
Right.
You talk about doing things that help people. There's also been some more statistics. And this was something that I talked about very early, like when we weren't doing podcasts together because we were locked down.
Yeah.
That I talked about a bunch, which is all of the domestic effects of this thing. So now they have shown that there was a huge increase in overdoses and suicides in the last year, too.
Yeah.
The people that are publishing this data are like, I don't know. You know, I wonder what it is that changed.
What changed this year that was different from any other year?
And it seems pretty obvious to me. And of course, that, you know, there's domestic abuse and like all kinds of things that were going on that are incredibly harmful, not just to the individuals, but to society as a whole.
Oh, absolutely.
I think it can be pretty strongly argued that they are a result of these lockdowns and these various measures to isolate everybody.
Yep.
It's just bad for the psyche. Yep. And, what they keep saying, and I remember Biden saying this specifically, that these restrictions on freedom, they work. You know, they work and they are effective at coercing. Now, this isn't exactly how he said it. The first part is, but that they're effective at coercing people to be vaccinated, which is like an absolute, very obvious, the ends justifies the means argument.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, we're not concerned about morality. We're concerned about the end result.
Yeah. We're concerned about you doing what we told you to do.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and it might be that they really think that this is the most effective way of protecting people, and that's what they're trying to do. Now, I do have questions about whether the government ever really believed that they could control the virus. Yeah. But I actually think that a lot of these people are arrogant enough that they did.
Yeah.
I'm still sure.
Yeah, probably. It wouldn't surprise me.
You know, but there's a whole bunch of counterexamples now. Gibraltar had a big outbreak of the virus. They had almost 100% of their adult population vaccinated. But they had a big outbreak of the virus.
Yeah.
You know, there are roughly half of the people in the hospital in Ireland with coronavirus are vaccinated people.
I saw that.
Although
today,
majority of their population, like 90 something percent of their adult population, is vaccinated.
Yeah.
It doesn't keep you out of the hospital. It doesn't keep you from dying. I mean, it obviously it has some impact. It does seem to lower the possibility, but there's a whole bunch of other things going on that they're not measuring. Yeah. Now, I would make the argument here that it's not that people's behavior between the vaccinated and unvaccinated population is not the same.
Yeah.
Anybody who's not vaccinated at this point has made the choice not to be vaccinated at this point.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that they are probably the people that are least likely to be following other protective measures, social distancing, masking, all that kind of thing. Yeah. Like, it's probably the vaccinated that are doing most of the other things that are being prescribed to prevent transmission of the virus.
The people that are following the narrative.
Yeah. They're probably being safer and not engaging in more risky behavior. And yet they're still getting sick.
Yeah. Risky behavior like going to the fair.
Yeah, exactly. Going to the fair. Going to your cousin's wedding.
Yeah, exactly.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've said it so many times on this podcast, it's almost not worth saying. Well, actually, it's a thing that's worth saying again and again and again and again, which is that you can't be so afraid of dying that you stop living.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I think a lot of people are way past that point at this point. Yeah. And it's really a shame.
The weight mechanisms are people are way more willing to just not do stuff over fear than they should be.
And fear has always been one of the most effective tools of government to keep its population under control.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, and we've seen it twice in my lifetime, first with the terror war and now this.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was extremely effective with the terror war. Mm-hmm. Anybody that's old enough to remember all of that firsthand knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah. So. Well, I mean, I don't really have anything more. I would like to spend some time talking about the Rittenhouse case.
Yeah.
Because it's one of those examples of what Michael Malice says about, or the results of what Michael Malice says about mainstream media, that they're factual but not truthful.
Yeah.
Because, like, listening to some of the reactions to the Rittenhouse decision, just like, people are so ignorant of what actually happened.
Well,
that it's
in my experience,
and I have to assume they're getting that information from a media that is misrepresenting like every single aspect of this.
Yeah. And that's exactly what it is, because not everybody has time to sit down and watch the whole trial. And I get that. Mm-hmm. But the media's job is to kind of sum up that trial, give you an overview of what happened. Mm-hmm. And they're just not doing it. Like, at least certain parts of the media are not doing it.
Yeah.
And that's how you end up in this situation where people are just saying, anybody that watched any of the trial is looking at the stuff being said, like, this is no basis in reality at all. But here we are, you know.
Yeah.
And it divides the country up in a really dangerous way.
Yeah.
And I do think we need to spend some time and kind of break this trial down, but I don't think we want to try to do that today.
I agree. We can record after Thanksgiving, though.
Absolutely.
Yeah, all right.
I don't see anything. Unless something crazy happens, Friday should be good.
Okay, excellent.
So,
well, I just want to add one more thing about the vaccine that Jim, I heard Jim, you remember Jim Brewer?
Yeah.
Half-Baked. And,
yeah.
You know, stand-up, SNL, et cetera. Yeah. So I heard an interview with him on the Megyn Kelly show recently, which I do recommend to people. Regardless of what you think of Megyn Kelly, she's a very good interviewer.
Yeah.
And that's all her show is
just
interviews.
Interview show. Yeah.
I mean, she has, you know, she says no agenda at the end. There's at least an idealistic agenda, I think, but,
Hey, she's still shouting out one of my favorite podcasts.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, she has Glenn Greenwald on with some regularity. He's always worth listening to.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
There's been some really interesting people. I don't listen to all of the shows. I skip around for things that, like, oh, I know who this is.
Yes, that you would be interested in. Yeah.
But I didn't really know a lot about Jim Brewer before this. His story's kind of fascinating, honestly.
Yeah.
But one of the things that he said on there that really was funny and insightful at the same time, talking about the coronavirus vaccines.
Yeah.
As he said, never in my life have I seen a medication that only works if everyone else takes it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sick because you didn't take my medicine.
Yeah. So, there's certainly something to
there's
that.
There's something in there, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And I have to wonder at what point people start asking the question.
Well, a lot of people are asking the question. The problem is what can be done about it? And that's really, like, is going to the streets the answer? Like, I mean, I know there's plenty of countries where that's going on right now.
Yeah.
I just question how much that really does.
Yeah. The answer is half of the people on that plane taking their masks off.
Well, and that's, so when you were mentioning that, that was something else I wanted to mention. We need more people like that man that was refusing to, that was.
He wasn't even refusing.
He wasn't, he wasn't even refusing, but we need more people to stand up and do that. Mm-hmm. And, like I say, I know within the next month I'm going to be forced into one of those situations. We'll see how far I can go with it, but we need more people. But we need more people to do it. Like, I mean, it's. I'll say this: it's hard when your livelihood is on the line.
Yeah.
To make that call.
I agree. And all I wanted was to get home.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying you should have been one of them, like, trying
Well, I was like this close to after takeoff when the captain announced that, like, okay, we're, you know, now we're climbing, et cetera. We're on our way.
Pull that mask right on off.
Yeah. Well, and to say, all right, everyone, we can take our masks off now.
Oh, dude. Yeah, but the problem with that is not only would you have been hauled off the plane when you got back, you would have been hauled to jail for inciting...
an insurrection.
An insurrection on the airplane. Like, we laugh about it, but the truth is they would have pressed charges against you.
I think on an airplane it's called a mutiny, actually.
Is it a mutiny? Okay.
I think, but I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, same as a ship, right?
Yeah. So, it's an airship.
It's an airship, yeah. That is funny, though. And that
it like went through my head, and I was like, I was so close to saying it.
Well, the fear would have been is that they would have turned the plane around.
Yeah,
that it wouldn't have.
That's exactly it. That they would just land at the next airport.
Exactly.
And haul me off.
And haul you off there. Yeah. End up in jail in some random place.
Yeah.
We'd never find you.
Might have been Hartsfield. Oh, God.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Ooh. Well, I guess we'll wrap it up there, and we'll get another one out end of the week.
Yeah.
So sorry we missed last week. It just didn't work.
Tried to do a make good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is our bonus podcast to make up for the last podcast we missed.
That we missed. Yeah.
We could be out having drinks and dinner right now. Instead, we're recording for all of you.
There you go. Yeah. Absolutely.
And we will be back again soon. In the meantime, follow us on Facebook, subscribe on iTunes, Podbean, YouTube. Is that it? You can always visit the website. I still haven't written anything, but
at some point, Mike will write us some articles to enjoy on the website.
Write articles about my debates with some family while I was up there, but maybe not. Maybe, you know.
Yeah, we'll see where this goes.
I still actually have it in my head to write an article about begging a question because I'm so tired of people misusing that.
Yeah.
But. Regardless of my pedantry, would be the word. Pedanticness. Pedanticism.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll be back at the end of the week when we finally get this right. And in the meantime, try to stay free.
Life's short. Live free.
Ciao.
Later.
Bye. You had to say it closer to the mic.
Bye.
There you go.
Thank you.